Daniel chapter number 1, the Old Testament book of Daniel. And if you know anything about Daniel, he's absolutely one of our heroes of the faith. Many great things could be said about Daniel. Daniel is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel and Joseph in the Bible. You never find anything negative said about them. Not that they were perfect people, not that they never sinned or got angry or did anything that they shouldn't do, but they are a picture in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to read in Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 1 down through verse number 8 this morning. The Bible said, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning, in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Thereof he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray. Father, we come today, and I am truly thankful to be here. I pray and ask that you would speak to our hearts from your word, that you would give me the liberty that I stand in need of, the help that I stand in need of to preach what you've laid on my heart today. Lord, I do pray for the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. I realize that in and of myself, no good thing can be done. We're very thankful today for the baptism that we're going to have afterwards and what that is a picture of and following in baptism after believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful for that as well. And each and every person that's here, Lord, speak to our hearts and have your way. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. We're going to go back and read verse number 8, a great verse in the Bible. And the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So we're going to look at verse number 8 and sort of get our thought out of that in just a few moments. But I do want to say that today is a special day and that we are going to have a baptismal service. And when we think about baptism, what we practice is Bible baptism. What we mean by biblical baptism, if you know anything about all the different religions under even the umbrella of Christianity, there's a lot of different churches out there, and a lot of them baptized for different reasons and in different ways. But we do it the way the Bible teaches how to do it, and that's the way we ought to do everything. And what we mean by that, we practice Bible baptism, which means, first of all, believers only. Believers only. We don't baptize infants. An infant is not able to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you study in the Bible and find the people in the Bible that were baptized, they all believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they were baptized. You don't find any other example of any other kind of anybody getting baptized in the Bible except people that had first believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So we practice believer's baptism. Baptism is the first act of obedience after a person is saved. So in the Bible, when people were baptized, it was very shortly after they had believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't find in the Bible anybody that was an unbaptized believer. When they believed, they followed the Lord in believer's baptism, because Jesus commanded the early church to go and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so after they believed, they followed the Lord in obedience and followed His example of being baptized. Now, when Chloe got saved a few Sundays ago, we'd been on a walk, we came back in the house, and boy, she was rejoicing, and she wanted to call everybody she could think of. And so she was calling people, and she took a little break in it. She said, couldn't we just go down to the creek right now and me be baptized? Because she said, I'm going to get to be baptized. I'm going to be able to take the Lord's Supper. And I said, if we put you in the creek now, we'd have to tie a rope around your ankle. You know, it's back when it rained really hard, and I mean it just washing everything away. And so she said later, she said, I didn't really expect to go down there, but she's just excited about it. That's the way it ought to be. We ought to be excited about following the Lord. And so she wanted to do that. The reason we practice baptism by immersion, and the word baptism, by the way, it means to immerse. The reason we do that is because that's how they did it in the Bible. And it is also a picture for all the world to see. It is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we have a baptismal service, it pictures and presents the gospel. Anybody that would see that, maybe they see it on Facebook, maybe they're invited by a friend to come to church and they say, why do you do that? What does that mean? Well, that's what the gospel is. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without uttering a word, somebody that's being baptized is saying, look, I'm following the Lord's example. I believed in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a picture of that. It also pictures a new walk in a new life. Now, I want to read a couple of verses. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Peter stood up, preached on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And so they heard Peter's message. They believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they were baptized. And boy, what a service that must have been. They had over 3,000 people saved. That took a lot of help and a lot of time, I would think. But they baptized them after they believed. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we're saying something happened to me and I'm going to walk different now. I'm a new person now. I'm a different creature now. And baptism says publicly, this has happened to me. Now, we come to the book of Daniel. Daniel is not about being baptized. The book of Daniel. What happens in Daniel chapter number 1 is not about being baptized, but what we find in the book of Daniel, what a challenge for young believers. What a challenge. Daniel's life for any believer, by the way. But Daniel was young when this happened to him. Daniel was a young man. We'll show you that in just a little bit. But here's a great example. How should we live as Christians? How should we live to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with our life? And I want to preach on the subject this morning. Live like you mean it. We ought to live like we mean it. We ought to, what we hear people say sometimes, we ought to practice what we preach. Just saying it with our mouth, that's really pretty shallow. That's really pretty hollow. A lot of people say things with their mouth. But when we live our life with our steps, the world set up and pay attention to that. We ought to live like we mean it. Now, Daniel, if there's anybody in the Bible, and I thought about a lot of different people we could have looked at this morning, but Daniel lived like he meant it. We're going to look at Daniel's life and also some things about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here in the Bible. But we are in desperate need in this day and time in which we live of some Daniels. Some people that will live like Daniel. Daniel lived an exceptional life in spite of his less than ideal upbringing. He had been carried away captive by a foreign nation. He was over 800 miles from home, being raised by people that didn't even believe in the God of the Bible. You talk about a less than ideal upbringing. Daniel had it. But in spite of all of that, he shines bright for the Lord in his life. He lived like he meant it. In spite of his less than ideal upbringing, in spite of his godless education, and boy, he had one. What do you think he learned about the God of the Bible down at the University of Babylon? Not much. They didn't worship the God of the Bible. They didn't live their lives like Daniel was used to living his life or anything like that. But in spite of that, he shines bright for the Lord in his life. In spite of continual pressure by society and by his peers, he still does what's right. You feel like you've got a lot of peer pressure in your life? Guess what? Daniel had peer pressure in his life. Right here in chapter number 1, what are you going to eat? I mean, a simple thing to deal with his diet. And right off the bat, he stands up and says, can't do it. I can't do it. It's not right. In spite of all these things, Daniel shines bright. He shines bold. He does what's right for good and for the Lord in his life. He lived his whole life like he meant it. I'm going to show you four things this morning out of this chapter about how Daniel lived his life. Number one, I look at his character. His character in verses 3 and 4. Look what the Bible says. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed and of the prince's children, in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. His character. Now, I want you to notice something about Daniel here in chapter number 1. It refers to them as children. Daniel was not a man when all this happened to him. He was a young person. When Daniel was carried away captive and Daniel was chosen out by these Babylonians, these Chaldeans, to come into the king's palace, and they said, go out there and find some bright young men and bring them in, and we will educate them. We will teach them our language. We will give them employment in the king's palace and all of these things. Go and pick out. And they went and they chose certain children is what the Bible says. Daniel at this time was probably about 14 years old. He's just a young man, a teenager. I've always heard about Daniel's parents, that Daniel no doubt had good parents and that had taught him what was right and what was good and all of these things. And no doubt, although the Bible says nothing about Daniel's parents, I believe he did have good parents. I believe having good parents is very, very important, and we should train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it, and all of those things. And so, no doubt that early influence had an impact upon his life, but as I got to thinking and studying about this, don't you think all of these Jewish children had been raised pretty much the same way? See, it wasn't just Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you look down in verse number 6, the Bible says, now among these were of the children of Judah. There were, we don't know how many, but there were a number of children that they had brought in these Jewish young men, and among these four stand out. What about the rest of them? No doubt the rest of them, who are their names? We never know about their names. They knew about the one living in God, true God. They knew what God expected out of their lives. They had been taught the truth. They had learned the same things. They knew about the same God that Daniel knew about. But we don't know about any of them. But we sure know about Daniel. We know about Daniel. Let me say, Daniel's character was different than their character. We need more than a religious upbringing and a head knowledge. Now, all these Jewish young men had a religious upbringing and a head knowledge, but only four of them really stand out for the Lord. You got to have more than head knowledge. We really stress head knowledge, head knowledge, head knowledge. But let me tell you got to have heart knowledge. And I believe Daniel had a heart knowledge of what was real in his life. When I think about Daniel's character, Daniel had a divine character. There was something different about him. It was more than just, you know, what would Dad think? In Daniel's life, it was always, what would God think? That's what's important. That's what we need to ask ourselves. What would God think about this? No doubt there was all kinds of pressure among these men to fit in, to conform. And you're 800 miles away from home and we're captives and mom and dad's nowhere around. What's it going to matter? The majority of them went right along. But Daniel had a divine character. He had a character that reflected a heavenly father, not just an earthly father. Daniel said, this is important that I not defile myself. What would God think about it? I've heard many times, you know, your character is not what you do in public. Your character is what you are in private when nobody knows what's going on. That's what your character is. Daniel could have said, what's it matter now? We're captives. This is our life. We're never going back to the way it was. Might as well just adapt. Daniel didn't have that attitude. What's God going to think about it? Had a divine character. We need a divine character. The Bible talks about in Galatians 6 and 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. What matters is if you've been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how much head knowledge you have. You can know all the Bible stories. You can know all about Jesus, all about His birth, all about His life, all about what happened on Calvary. But if you don't have a heart knowledge, a heart relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, all you got's knowledge. What matters is being a new creature in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you ever come to a place in your life where all things become new? It's very easy for our children in church to grow up with a head knowledge. Can you imagine living in a preacher's home? You've heard the gospel. You go to church every time the doors are open. Somebody told me the other day, they said, I'm so glad you waited on Chloe. I didn't wait on Chloe. I waited on the Lord. Amen. It's very easy to get a child to make a profession of faith. But if a child makes a profession of faith and it's not a heart matter, you've done them a disservice. You've confused them for years and years to come. And they'll grow up like many saying, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I think I am. I said a prayer once upon a time. We better wait on the Lord. I believe the Lord got a hold of Daniel at some point in his life. And it was more than just what mom and daddy are going to think. It was what's God going to think. If you ever become a new creature in Christ Jesus, you'll be real concerned about what God thinks. But how come, preacher? Because you get a divine nature. You become a child of God, and as a child of God, we ought to reflect our Heavenly Father. What's God think about it? Had a divine nature. He had a determined nature. He lived like he meant it. His nature was determined from his younger days all the way up into being an old man. It's the same Daniel. Same Daniel. He never wavers anywhere in his life. Daniel's always the same, whether he's a child. And those formative years are so important. But it followed him the rest of his life. Every time you find Daniel in a crisis in his life, he's determined to do the right thing, no matter what the outcome is. He's going to do what's right. He's determined. His character was a durable character. It lasted over 70 years. The book of Daniel covers over 70 years. He served under three administrations. That's how we would say it. You know, their kings didn't just, they weren't elected number one. They were king until somebody, till they died or somebody came along and overthrew them. He served under the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, the Medes, and the Persians, all of them. Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, he served under all these different heathen, godless kings. But he's always the same. Serving God is not a summer camp experience. I've got a book in my study that says this: fireworks don't last. And a lot of people in there, serving God is sort of like fireworks. You know, it's getting near 4th of July and all like that. And I was somewhere the other night and somebody was shooting off fireworks and everybody stops and oohs and ahs. But guess what? It's gone. Don't let your Christian life be like fireworks. You just go off for a little while and make a big noise and all like that, but then it's over and done. No, the Christian life is a marathon. We'll live for God every day of our life as long as we live. That's what Daniel did. When you come to the end of the book of Daniel, he's not a young man anymore. He's an old man, and he's been through a lot of things in his life, and he's the same Daniel. He lived his life like he meant it. We ought to make up our minds that we're going to live our life like we mean it. We're going to practice what we preach. We're going to live the Word of God out before a lost and dying world that really needs to see some Daniels. What's it look like? Oh, that's what it looks like. His character was exceptional. His testing, he was tested. Look at verses 5 and 6. You're going to be tested. You young people are going to be tested. Chloe, you're going to be tested in your Christian life. Don't feel like you're the only one. All of us go through times of testing. You say you're real. Are you really real? You got to take a test. God's going to allow some tests in our life. And it's not long, I don't believe, that Daniel is down here captive by these Babylonians that he comes into his first test. Verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. First test that comes in his life. Now you got to realize Daniel is a Jew, and Jewish people eat clean. There are things that in their diet, according to the law of God, is unclean and an abomination. They should not eat it. Even today, the practicing Jews will look for, and maybe you've seen this in the grocery store, food that is kosher. That means it's clean. It's been inspected by a priest. And look, they don't put bacon bits on their salad. They don't have shrimp cocktail. There's a lot of things that Gentiles eat that Jewish people do not eat. It has to be prepared a certain way. It has to meet certain cleanliness standards. Look, they believed in cleanliness standards before the government come along and said, when we're fixing our food, we ought to be clean about it. That's been around a long time. God gave that to the Jewish people. You think God knows what He's doing? He sure does. And Daniel looked at the spread out there that they had been brought into. Now, I believe that if you really studied about all the captives that were taken away, boy, Daniel's got a real opportunity here. I don't think all of them's eaten from the king's table. In fact, most of them have either been killed or end up as slaves. But Daniel's got a great opportunity here. And so the king says, let's bring these young men in. We're going to feed them our food. We're going to give them our education. We're going to teach them our language. And the king said, they will serve me well one day. And so in the eyes of the king, these guys are really... Man, what an opportunity. He's being a blessing to him. And Daniel sees all that shrimp cocktail and all that alcoholic wine out there and all the BLT sandwiches and everything. And he says, man, I just can't do that. That'll defile. I just can't do it. It's unclean. It's abominable in the sight of God. Now, we're all going to be tested. All this stuff was forbidden as far as Daniel's following his dietary law. And he said it would defile me to do that. What a test. What a test. What if they kick him out in the street? What if they make a slave out of him? Listen to me. Every person here is going to be tested one way or the other. And guess what? It's not going to happen. You know, the devil's not going to wait around till you're 50 or 60 years old and say, all right, now they're a good, strong Christian and really following the Lord. No, Satan's going to come along when you're young. And I believe more so when you're young. You're going to be tested. Are you going to live like you mean it? Are you going to cave in to the things of this world? We're all going to be tested, young people. As you grow up, your friends going to start doing things, and you know, I ought not be doing that. They're going to start talking ways that they shouldn't be talking. I'm just telling you how it starts. They're going to start experimenting with things. They're going to find alcohol somewhere. They're going to try that. They're going to find smoking, whatever to smoke somewhere. And nowadays, there's all kinds of things to try smoking and vaping. And they're going to try sex outside of marriage. They're going to be tempted to all these things. Well, you're going to have to make up your mind. Are you going to live like you ought to live? Or are you going to fall in and cave in with the things of the world? Daniel was tested. Let me say, when we are tested, and evidently all these other Jewish young men, they went right along. But let me say, when you are tested in your life, it is always justified by this. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. Don't you think those Jewish young men got together and they discussed, you know, this is not right for us to be eating this. And don't you know the majority of them said, well, look, we got no choice. We got to do this. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. That is always the justification for going away from God. Everybody's doing it. No, they're not. Daniel didn't do it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do it. I don't know why we use Daniel's Hebrew name and the other three their Babylonian name, but you know who I'm talking about. These four young men didn't do it. When everybody else was bowing down to a gold idol that Nebuchadnezzar had made, they didn't do it. Everybody else did it. Even those other Jewish young men. We don't hear nothing about them, but Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not go along. Can you imagine the pressure? I mean, they're captives in a foreign land. This is a great opportunity for them. They are getting a full ride to the University of Babylon with a promise of employment afterwards. You know, a lot of our college, I won't hurt nobody's feelings, but a lot of young people are going to college and can't get a job after. And they're in debt for thousands and thousands of dollars, and they find out they don't have employment when they get out of school. I'm telling you, that'd be disheartening. These young men, they brought them in. They said, we're going to feed you like the king eats. We're going to give you the highest education of the land. We're going to employ you in the employment of the king. You're going to be high up when you get through this 3 years of college. But Daniel was willing to risk it all that he might not be defiled. That he might not be defiled. You're going to be tested in your life. They could have said, we've got to do this. We might offend them. They were tested here on the simple matter of their diet. Some people would say, you know, that's not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal. Just go ahead and eat it. Don't say nothing about it. But they passed the first test. And then they were tested on the bowing down to the golden image in Daniel chapter number 3. And I'm not going to preach out of that this morning, but you really ought to read it when you get home, because I think we see the same thing in principle happening today. The king got all the higher-ups together, all the sheriffs, all the magicians, all the counselors, everybody, got them all together, played a big rock concert, said, all right, we're all going to bow down and worship at the same time. And somebody saw that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't bowing down. They told on them. Hey, if you don't follow right along with the crowd, guess what? Somebody's going to come along. They're not doing like everybody else. They're not doing like everybody else. Peer pressure. And you know what they said to the king when the king said, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. You know what they said? They said, go ahead. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And if he doesn't, if we get burned up in the fiery furnace, guess what? We're still not going to bow down. That's what they said. Do you know, I was thinking about this. The world cannot stand being faced with their own morality. See, these guys, when it come to dying, they were indifferent towards it. They said, okay, if I die, I die. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. The world can't stand when a Christian says that. The world cannot stand if, for example, they said, you know, you better quit riding in cars because the polar ice caps are melting and it's going to flood the world and we're destroying everything. And we say, God's going to burn it up anyway. They can't stand that. They can't stand that. Well, you'd better do this and you'd better do that, you know. You're going to make us all sick having church. Well, if we get sick and die, get sick and die. The world can't stand that. But how come they can't stand that? Because it's a testimony to them that they're afraid of dying and they're scared to death of dying. But a child of God says, all right, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. Threaten me with heaven, street of gold, and being with Jesus, and never being sick, or never crying, or having a broken heart again, and all that stuff. Well, if that's the worst, the world can't stand that. So next time somebody says something to you, say, well, I'm going to heaven. Well, they can't stand that. And so they told these young men, they said, boy, if you don't bow down, we're going to kill you. They said, well, if I die, I die. But I'm not bowing down. They passed the second test. The first test was was hard enough, but it was just about food. And the second was about worship. And then they told Daniel, they passed the law, and they said, no praying. No praying. I love what the Bible says. Daniel went and prayed. He went and prayed. They told on him. They threw the book at him. They threw him in the den of lions. He slept on the lions. You know, an animal like that's really soft. I really believe Daniel kicked one head up on one lion and kicked his feet up on another and slept like a baby. And all night long, the king was up there wringing his hands and walking back and forth. But Daniel passed the test. Daniel passed the test. Every time a test comes. And in this life, we're not going to have one test or two tests, or you're going to have tests all the time. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Better live like we mean it. 1 Peter 1:7 talks about the trial of your faith. Your faith is going to be tried. What are you going to do? If you don't pass that little first, second test, you're not going to pass the big test. You're going to have tests all along. Are you going to pass or not? His testing. Number three, his purpose. Look in verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Man, he made up his mind. He decided for the Lord. I will follow Jesus. Remember that song we sing? This is what I'm going to do. I purposed in my heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. I want you to notice in verse number 8 that his heart was made up first. Well, if you'll make up your heart, your head will follow. If you try to follow your head, you're going to fail. We'll justify things, but if you'll make up your heart, you'll purpose in your heart, I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to do what's right. This wasn't Daniel just saying, you know, I don't want to eat shrimp and bacon. It's bad for my cholesterol. It wasn't just a personal choice. This was a conviction in his heart from God's word that Daniel, as a Jewish person, should not eat and drink these things. And he said, I'm going to do what God said to do. Purpose in my heart not to defile himself. This was not about just, I don't want to eat that. This was concerning his spiritual life, defiling himself. You say, preacher, let me say this morning, if you're not a student of the Word of God, you're not going to know what will defile you. There's things out here that will mess you up. The Bible said in Psalms 119, 105, he said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible says thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And boy, we need to be students of God's word. You know, if you'll get in God's book, you will find that there's a lot of instruction about how to live this life. And I've encouraged it many times. Read a chapter out of the book of Proverbs every day. Today's the 14th. I read Proverbs chapter 14. You know what chapter 1 says? My son, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And it goes down there and it talks about a crowd that's running after violence. Is that what we see going on in our day and time? Man, there's a lot of stuff. You get in God's word, it'll keep you out of debt. It'll keep your marriage together. It'll show you how to raise your children. It'll show you about temptation that comes along, the instruction. But he said, I'm not going to defile myself. I know, according to the Bible, that this is wrong. This is where my convictions come from. We must purpose in our heart not to be defiled. He said, my spiritual life is more important than my physical life. When the next challenge came along to bow down, they already knew they wouldn't bow down. And when all them men passed the law not to pray, do you know, they knew the only way they were going to catch Daniel was to pass the law concerning him and his God. That's what it says in chapter 5. Daniel was following God. Daniel was a good man. Daniel was always going to do right. And they said, we hate Daniel. How can we get at him? We've got to pass a law concerning him and his God, because they already knew that Daniel was going to follow God. Let me say, this world ought to know by our lives that we're going to follow God. We're going to do what's right. He had purposed in his heart. And when prayer was outlawed, Daniel went and prayed. Last of all, this morning, look at his reward in verse number 9. Does God pay attention to what we're going through? He sure does. Look what the Bible said in verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God gave Daniel favor in this man's eyes that had basically control over his life. And so I'm not going to read all this, but Daniel requested of him. He said, and this man said, you know, I feel your pain, but I fear the king. And if I don't make you eat this, I'm afraid the king will cut my head off. Now I'm paraphrasing. And Daniel said, just give us 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, if we're not better off than they are, then do what you got to do. He said, but just give us 10 days. He said, all right. And for 10 days, they didn't eat those things. And at the end of 10 days, guess what? Daniel and these fellas, they looked a whole lot better than the other ones. And so he said, I'll grant you your request. He had favor. Verse 15 sort of sums it up. It said, and at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. See, there were a lot of them there. All them other fellas, they'd been eating all that rich stuff they weren't used to. Sort of like we had a big cookout yesterday, the family over. And at the end, I didn't feel the best I'd ever felt in my life. I had a lot of things and too much things and too many different things. I felt fatter, but I didn't feel fleshier or fitter. And at the end of them 10 days, boy, Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach, man, they've been eating good. They look better. God gave them favor. If you'll make up your mind to do right in this life, I believe this with all of my heart, God will give you favor. God will work things out in your life that He won't work out in the lives of others. Because you made up your mind, you purposed in your heart, you're going to do right, you're going to follow God. I purposed as a young man, and I'm not anything special, I'll tell you that right now, but I purposed a long time ago as a young man that, God willing, I would never take employment that took me out of God's house on Sunday. I never looked for a job. And I've preached that. I've saw it too many times. Young people, they get up, well, I've got to take what I can get. And the next thing you know, they're out of church altogether. They took a job that has taken them out of God's house on Sunday. Then they're all the way out. I made up my mind as a young man, I'm just not going to take a job like that. God's always blessed me. Now I work every Sunday. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not bagging groceries. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but God's always blessed me. God blessed me so much, He put me in the ministry. And I do get to work. I get to do something for God every Sunday. What a blessing. What a blessing. And some people think that's all, the preacher just works one day a week. But God honors the purposed life. God honors the life that says, you know what? Here's where I was as a young person. I don't know what I want to do, but God does. And I finally set aside trying to find what I wanted to do. I spent a long time trying to find what I wanted to do. And guess what? Of all the things I tried to do and thought about doing, I never was satisfied. Finally, I realized one day, God knows what He wants me to do. And I just began to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do You want me to do? What do You want me to do? Whatever You want me to do, I will do that. I preached many times, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. The thing you have that God needs you to give Him is your free will. Lord, here am I. Send me. Don't say, I'm going to give God my talent, because it's not yours anyway. He gave it to you. Don't say, I'm going to give God my mind. I'm going to let God use my mind. Let me tell you, if God didn't give you the mind that you have today, you wouldn't have a mind. Don't say, I'm going to give God my money. God gave you your money to begin with. You say, no, I worked hard for that. I got that. God gave you the ability. God gave you the mind. Everything you've got, the Bible said in James, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything you've got, God gave you anyway. It's not yours to give. He gave it to you. But now your will, even the Lord Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. That's the one thing you can give the Lord that you have got to give Him. In the book of Proverbs, it says, my son, give me thine heart. Well, if you ever give your heart to the Lord, He's got something He can work with. If you ever present your body, we used to sing the song, all on the altar, my all on the altar I lay. Preachers used to preach about, some of them still do, I hope I still do, about dedicating your life to the Lord. That means give God your life. Don't beat around and waste a lot of years on what you want to do. You don't even know what you want to do. You know, that's not really fair to ask little children, what are you going to do when you grow up? They don't know. I wanted to be the policeman, the fireman, the cowboy, the army man, and everything else under the sun, baseball player, everything. I didn't know. You don't know. God knows. God rewards the purposed life. God rewards the life that just puts it all on the altar and says, God, I don't even know what you want me to do, but here I am. You show me and I'll do it. Well, he'll show you and he'll favor that. He'll favor that. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'm not just preaching to Chloe this morning because she is getting baptized, but I think it's a good challenge for all of us today that we would purpose that we were going to live our lives like we meant it. Lord, what do you want out of my life? I'm going to ask the ladies to come to the instruments this morning while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I'm just going to ask them to play something. Maybe you're here and God's speaking to your heart, and maybe you're in the position, you know, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe you're, and you just say, Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. Maybe you're here today and you feel there's so much pressure on you. So much pressure to do this or to do that. And it's so tempting to give in. You'd say, God, give me grace just to live for you, just to be like Daniel. As they play this morning, if you're here and God spoke to your heart, you need to come. Won't you come? If you need me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you need to be saved, I'd love to talk to you. If you just want to do right where you are, we're going to have just a few moments.